Hi, welcome to Pokemon Radar, Games Radar's first Pokemon exclusive podcast. It's not the first time we've had Pokemon Radar on Games Radar. When Diamond and Pearl came out in Japan, we did a 24-week lead-up called Pokemon Radar, so hopefully some fans of the original Pokemon Radar are listening to the cast. Today on the show we have...
Henry Gilbert.
And me, Michael Grimm.
And I'm Carolyn Goodmanson. And we're all Pokemon fans in the office.
Oh, yeah. I love Pokemon.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've been out of it for a few years, but now I'm way back into it.
Yeah. So Pokemon Radar is going to be really... we're just here to talk about Pokemon. So rock bottom production values, pure, raw, unedited...
Passion. Okay, passion.
Oh, look who we have here. Oh, my gosh. A special guest just entered the room.
Hello.
Yep. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, this is Tyler Nagata.
Yeah.
Tyler Nagata appeared.
And I just say I'm very honored to be here on
yes.
this exciting, exciting new podcast.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. We're just... awkwardly introducing the first show.
Oh, okay.
So,
exciting.
Yeah, totally.
What is the first show?
It's the first Pokemon Radar podcast. I awkwardly mentioned that we had Pokemon Radar on the site before. Remember our weekly lead up with all the Diamond and Pearl Pokemon when that was still, you know, a mystery. It was just out in Japan. We'll probably do the same thing for Black and White too when that comes out this fall.
Does that fall under the umbrella of Poke Musings?
No, that was pre-Poke Musings, which the beloved series,
right.
Poke Musings. No, that was, yeah, we had Pokemon Radar, and then after the game came out, we had Poke Musings, two different authors, two different, yeah.
I remember Poke Musings was cool because the guy, like, gave away stuff
yeah,
on GPS.
Yeah, I don't know how he managed to find such awesome Pokemon to give away every week, but.
Those were pretty nice.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I am not doing that. I keep all the Pokemon for myself. So, speaking of Pokemon giveaways, this past weekend was the Pokemon Regional Championships in San Mateo.
Yeah.
I know Henry, Tyler, and I went. Mike Grimm, you
was
were
out of town. Sadly.
Out of town. Yes. Darn. Well, next year. So, well, I guess you guys wanted to talk about our. Experiences.
Well, you went there first. You were there for the junior tournament, which is anybody born after 1997.
Yeah, which is terrible. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I did see the juniors. I saw like the end of the finals of the junior matches. I wanted to mention. I don't want to mention her just because she's a girl, but Bridget Person was the girl who made the final four, so she'll be going to nationals. I only mention her because it seems like in years past, girls have been really underrepresented in both the junior and senior division, just in you know, competitive Pokemon battling in general. Yeah, so good job. Congratulations to Bridget Person. She made it to nationals, and she was the, you know, everyone thought she was just not going to make it very far. She had a really serious... what we call a poker face. she would just frown the
not
whole
sure
time, and everyone was like, "Oh, Bridget must be losing. She's frowning." But that was just her poker face.
It's the psychological advantage. She's playing mind games.
Yeah.
And do you know what her team was?
I don't. I looked over her shoulder once, but I didn't want to like breathe over her when she was battling. But I know she had a Togekiss.
Well, I know when we were like watching. Me and Tyler were watching the senior ones go on. It had like a sign up saying like "Don't say anything" because you're
right.
not supposed to
yeah.
like give that any tips to anybody or tell them what to use.
Yeah, Well, she didn't need any tips. Nah. And I swear she wore like this bright pink dress with a pink bow in her hair, and she had you know really pretty blonde hair. She just totally took everyone by surprise. Like she did not, you know.
Yeah, the pictures were adorable.
Yeah,
and they're all in there in your
yes.
roundup summary
totally.
Article on the website
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, but I was sad I didn't get to see the seniors. You guys.
Well, yeah.
Saw
so
a
what?
Bit of that.
Well, yeah, when we got there, we I think you had been you left about a half hour ago, and the all the people were in line to register, and it was a crazy long line.
It was amazing how long the line was. It went outside of the tournament center, through the lobby, outside the building, and all the way down to the end of the parking lot.
Yeah, I saw the pictures you guys took, and it was amazing how many people
were. Lots of trainers were lining up to...
It was hard to take pictures of it, too, because it looped over, like, so many times.
Right, it was so long that you couldn't even capture how long it was in a single shot.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't even cap the line until, like, 4 minutes before the first fight was going. They were really nice about that.
Yeah, last year they had a cap that was done by lottery who got to compete. Like, they only took in, like, I think 128 from both divisions.
Man.
So they turned away, like, over, you know, a ton of people last year. Sucks. But this year I thought it was, like, really amazing that... Like, I was talking to the Pokemon rep, J.C. Smith, and he said, yeah, there's no cap this year. Like, anyone who comes, they won't turn away anyone. Mm. So, I don't know how they managed to cycle that
just
many people
through. That's why we didn't see who won the senior one, because we were there for about an hour, but then the first round of people was just starting. Like, when we left, there was still a sizable line of people outside the door waiting to get inside to finish their registration. Yeah. So
I know they posted all the results on PokemonVGC.com. Mm. I just haven't looked.
Did they have like the list of what Pokemon they used or what kind of
movesets? Yeah, I think for the winners they did. They listed their teams. Yeah, and the winning battle videos are both online too for each division.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. I should check that out.
Because I was kind of interested in just like how, I mean, obviously the junior league is pretty hardcore if you're the winner, but I mean, it's sort of boggling to me that, you know, you could be that young and that into like EV training and all the like super hardcore aspects of it. And
yeah, the Pokemon rep was saying that there's even like some families who are like super Pokemon fans, and like the whole family is just like super hardcore trainers.
Wow. And that was evident just from looking at the crowds, because you saw, you know, people in their 50s or so, you saw teenagers, you saw college kids, you saw all different kinds of folks, you know, you saw your punk rockers and... You know, your cosplayers.
I saw a Lolita, too. Did you see that girl?
No, I
there
didn't
was a Lolita.
But there's all different kinds of people.
Yeah, I had a funny story on the BART ride to get to Tyler's place. I live in Berkeley, where the Cal State University is. And so I get on, and you can take the BART all the way to the San Mateo thing, but it was easier. I wanted to meet up with Tyler, and he drove. But anyway, I get on the BART. And then, like, I'm just sitting there, and then I hear these guys, like, talking to each other. And one guy says, like, no, you better have somebody with Earthquake on your team. And then he says, oh, really? I looked over. It was like they had whipped out their DSs, and they were like, wow. And so, like, I took out my DS and, like synced up my PokeWalker so they'd know that I was into it, too. And they're like, oh, wow, hey, do you go to college here? And it's like, no. He's like, oh, I would have invited you to join my Pokemon club.
Oh. No townies allowed in the Pokemon club at UC Berkeley.
But I didn't end up seeing him there, though, because
just a Sunday for them.
Yes. Yeah.
No, they said they were going. Obviously, they were going to the tournament. But yeah, maybe I should have talked with them more, but they were nice people.
Well, I got to say, from watching the tournament, one thing that moved my heart gold was, was seeing just how friendly and genuinely excited everybody was. Like, the way it was set up, you know, they're sort of separated from the area where people were playing and battling at the stations versus where the spectators could stand. And, you know, we were standing up front, and, you know, people were bustling to the side, and I remember one guy said, oh, excuse me, that's just my friend up there. I want to cheer him on and everything. And he was apologizing because he had just barely brushed against me. And right to my right were what looked like two, you know, college-aged dudes, you know. They didn't look like the typical, stereotypical gamer types, but they're – one of them was holding the other one up on his shoulders so that they could see, they could see the screen where they're showing their friend battling, and it was just so you usually
everybody
see it's like
so
it's
excited.
Like some dad holding their little baby up like that. You never see two grown young adults, you know, holding each other up just so they can watch some Pokemon action. It was just really pleasant to be there and see.
Yeah, the spirit of sportsmanship is really strong at those tournaments. It's always really heartwarming to see everyone say, you know, good game, good match, even if they lost. And my favorite story was last year, I saw a mom and a son who came together, a young son, and the mom decided to compete in the seniors division just so, like, she wouldn't be bored or whatever at the event. And the mom ended up getting further in the tournament than the son did. And instead of the son being sad and upset, because, like, I would expect the son to be like, oh, like, because he got knocked out in the first round. Right, but the mom went to, like, round three. And he was just, instead of being sad, he was just so proud of his mom. He was like, that's my mom, everybody. Aww. Look at my mom. Aww. She's so good. And I'm just like, oh, I almost start crying. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
It is a sweet story.
It's just like Cubone being proud of his mother. But
what a downer.
Wow, way to bring it down.
So, but
I say that kid probably has a really nice nature.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do have some bad news from the tournament, you guys. So I talked to JC Smith. He's the consumer marketing director for the Pokemon Company. And he did make a confirmation that I kind of knew in my heart for a long time. And I'm sure other people did, but there was never any official word. So breaking news. There's not going to be a Platinum update for My Pokemon Ranch in North America.
Boo.
I know. So it came out in Japan, like, forever ago, like, you know, not that long after Platinum released. And we just assumed we'd get it here, too, you know, because it's stupid that, you know, if you downloaded My Pokemon Ranch, you're probably a pretty hardcore Pokemon fan. Yeah. You probably bought Platinum, but you can't use Platinum. I mean, the Platinum update in Japan made it, obviously, so that you could use My Pokemon Ranch with your Pokemon Platinum cartridge, and it increased the capacity of the ranch to 1,500.
Wow. Mm.
So you can't now. And it's especially sucky for people who, like, were just trying to get the Mew really hard. Like, that's like one of the major reasons why I bought My Pokemon Ranch, is because I knew that Haley would give you a Mew if you filled the ranch. So I've been just spamming my ranch with, you know, everything, just trying to get enough to get the Mew. And now it's like, now I can't actually use the ranch for storage because
you'd have to just use your old Pearl, Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
It's sad too. Like, how hard can it be to switch over the Japanese version to America?
Seriously.
Like, if they already did it for Japan.
Yeah.
Nintendo's got so much money. I don't
know. Seriously. So, true. But at least he was straight with me. At least, you know, we have confirmation. Like, at least I feel like I can have closure on that, because I've been waiting for it for so long. And it's just like, but you kind of knew if it wasn't out by now, it probably wasn't coming out.
Yeah.
Don't blame the messenger.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But the good news is we all got our shiny Eevees.
We did.
Yeah.
You guys did.
Did you guys check what the nature was on that shiny Eevee?
No, I didn't look that close at mine. I saw he was level 50 and he came with a focus sash. But
now, what does the focus sash do?
Oh, that's a good question, Tyler. Don't put me on the
spot. Sorry for raising a question that I didn't have an answer to. on a live podcast.
Let's see. Is it something related to Eevees? Can we look it up?
It could just, I don't know, maybe it's just a background thing.
Focus sash does something.
I'm sure it's a cool item.
Yeah. But now, well, I was surprised he was level 50, too.
It makes me, like, I'm a little bit less inclined to evolve him right away. I feel like the pressure is a little bit, you know.
I mean, you guys have collected special Pokemon at events. Like
this is
before,
my first
right?
one.
Oh, is this your first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, well, because I didn't get back into Pokemon until just recently with Heart Gold. So now I wish I had gone on and gotten, like, the Jirachi or the Pikachu or the Pichu with the different ear that they were giving away, like EB or GameStop. But I missed out on those. So.
Because as an inexperienced trainer, I'm a little bit on the fence as to whether I should keep my shiny Pokemon, which I got special at this Pokemon tournament, in mint condition.
Oh, yeah.
Or if that's silly and I should just use it and evolve it as I so wish.
At the very least, I would be very thoughtful about how you use your Eevee.
Teach him Flash and a bunch of other
things.
Yeah,
I'll teach him all the HMs.
No HMs, yeah.
Also, yeah. But at the very least, he's in my very special PC box nice. Along with all the Pokemon I actually use.
Well, and just to commit to an evolution, like, that's a big deal for me. Like, I don't know which yeah. one I should
I know, it's I such a big do. Commitment yeah. with an EV just in general, let alone a shiny, special, limited edition mm-hmm. EV or whatnot.
Okay, so I have Focus Sash. Is if the whole the effect of the Focus Sash is if the holder has full HP and is hit by an attack that would otherwise cause fainting, it can survive with 1 HP.
Oh. So it's like Endeavor or whatever?
Yeah, and it can also protect against swipe moves, recoil damage, and self-inflicted confusion damage.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, but not from Future Sight or Doom Desire. And that it's sounds... consumed after use, so oh. be careful, you guys. Oh. Thank you, Bulbapedia! Wow.
So it's Bulbapedia. One use... It's a one-use item, then.
Yes.
That seemed like it'd be incredibly powerful if it was just a hold item yeah. that lasted forever.
Yeah. And in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can find one at the Battle Frontier.
Hey. Thank I've you, barely Wikipedia. Done anything at the Battle Frontier. That's yeah. one of the few areas I haven't really gone to that
yeah.
much. I should go to one, though, just so I want to level up the... Oh, gee, what's the Flying Scorpion Gigarus? Gigarus.
Well, there's a Drapion and oh my gosh.
Anyway. Giratina?
Oh, are you talking about Gliscor?
Yeah, yeah, I want to.
Yeah.
Or Glide. Glidor.
Glee. I mean, that's all right. Who knows how many Pokemon names we're pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. There's a level up item there at the Battle Frontier I should go to.
Another thing that was really fun at the championships was connecting Pokewalkers with everyone. Did you guys bump walkers with a bunch of strangers?
You know what? I'm a little that is my one regret from going there is that I didn't go out of my way to introduce myself to strangers. I should have. It would have been such a great icebreaker.
Yeah, we should have.
And I know people were all doing it, but.
Nah, well,
me and
Henry Carolyn
were shy. We're shy guys.
Yeah, we were shy.
Yeah,
we were shy.
Carolyn was telling me about though she got to bump Pokewalkers with a lot of people.
I did a little bit. I found out. Well, I should have known based on Brett's Pidgey that's been on the Trail of Tears for several weeks. But when you get your items, so when you connect Pokewalkers, there's a limit of 10 items on the Pokewalker. Like, you know how when you douse, there you can only hold 3 and then you have to transfer them off? With connecting, you can hold 10. But if you connect and you have 10 items already, you'll get watts for connecting instead of an item. So if you're really trying really hard to unlock all the routes, it's pretty useful to connect Pokewalkers with a lot of people and get some extra watts.
I'm already up to 20,000 watts. I just opened up the Dark Cave route.
Oh,
I don't have much left.
Well,
I still need to download the one at the office here, that one.
Oh,
is
I know.
Wi-Fi
me too.
Wi-Fi working yet?
Stupid, all those this iPads is,
yeah,
crashing our
iPads.
Wi-Fi. Yeah, Winner's Path. I still need to download Winner's Path as well. Mm-hmm. But the watts are also helpful when you're trying to catch those flying and surfing Pikachus, like on Yellow Forest. I've heard reports of it of people taking over... catching over 100 Pikachus and still not getting a flying Pikachu.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's 10 watts every time you play that game, so you'll
but
need
you
a
can
lot
only,
of watts.
You can only check what their moves are after you've put them on your thing, right?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, well, here's my experience. I went on the Yellow Road, and I barely surpassed 10,000 steps. And what I found was, what I did was I just kept releasing any Pikachu that I found that wasn't 3 or 4 exclamation points.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then after catching about 6 or 7 of those, I had one with Fly.
You had, really?
Yeah, I had one with Fly.
Oh, awesome.
And it was only 6 or 7. But, I mean, keeping in mind, like, I was just retreating from any Pokemon I found that was 1 or 2 exclamation points.
That's
in the field.
That's a good strategy.
And I guess, like, having gotten 10,000 steps that day, I don't remember nearing the end of whatever watts I had earned that day when my Pokewalker. So,
Well, speaking of Pokewalker, should we do the live Pokewalker meetup?
Okay. You guys all have your Pokewalkers?
Yeah. Turn up your sound so people.
My sound is up.
Okay.
Oh, mine is too. Should we do the table method?
Yeah, let's do the table method. Well, here, let's do it. Let me get my mic close to it to make sure.
Okay.
You got your mic close.
finding at the tournament too that connecting was a lot easier than it was in the office, and I don't know whether it was the energy of all the Pokemon trainers or what, but
come on now.
I was not getting the cannot connect like we there do we 50 times in the office every day.
I'm dealing with professionals.
Lugia is right.
Yeah.
Play battled.
Nice.
Club.
How did you put it? The air was crackling with excitement.
It was. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, like when I connected with the Pokemon rep JC, like he held his like that, and I'm like, that's not gonna work, and it totally connected.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe we're having them too close together. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. There we go.
Because it feels like you have to be really...
Oh, wow, Lugia. Wow, you brought out the big guns.
I know.
Yeah, did you capture that without your without your Master Ball? Or?
No, I wasted my Master Ball on it because I was very sleepy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was very sleepy and...
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't supposed to waste my
Master
Ball.
Still
Tyler, it's your Master Ball.
I know,
you're free
I
to do what you please
with
it. It's every Pokemon trainer's right to use a Master Ball, whatever they want.
61 watts.
All right.
Wow, I got over 100 watts from that.
Wow, really?
Yep. Man. Between
maybe
the two.
Yeah. Maybe I should keep my guy in there for a while.
Yeah. So, how about Black and White? You guys want to talk about what
that's
we know
exciting.
About Black and White so far? Yes. Oh,
I'm
my
very
goodness.
Excited.
I gotta say, I like these starters. They look pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm liking them too. I know there's been a lot of mixed opinions on the net about these starters, but I'm digging them.
Yeah. I gotta say, I am very against this water type.
Yeah,
sea otter.
I don't like them that much.
Mijumaru.
Yeah, I'm not feeling him either. I don't like his.
I mean, they're all a little bit anthropomorphic, but he's a little too teddy bear, a little too.
Well, I don't like the
freckles.
Is it the freckles?
He's frowning and he's got freckles and
maybe
like
he's just
clown.
Concentrating. Maybe he has arfs, Tyler.
I don't arfs. I don't like his
face
feet.
Syndrome.
I find myself picking at the most silly.
Well, he's got to have flippers though. He's a water. Water type.
Well, you know, he's only going to look like that for the first 15 levels or so.
Yeah.
And I like how this grass type's how it looks like he's almost got like a collar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Around his neck.
He's easily the best one. I mean, let's
easily,
get to the.
Easily. I'm going to have to say, that is a sly looking.
Yeah,
little
I like his half lidded.
He's
yeah.
so smug. Smirk. He just looks amazing.
I know. Pokabu. He's cute.
He just
like kind of
looks
too.
Like a pig. Yeah. I mean, he's cute.
That pig's going to get ugly. I predict final evolution.
Final evolution.
Going to be ugly.
I think he's like he's definitely cuter to me than like other pig Pokemon, Grumpig or Spoink.
Spoink?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Spoink's pretty cute.
Well,
yeah, he is. But I like the full eyes of this one and the happy look on his face.
Yeah.
And also, you know, but I like his legs too.
What about his bunny ears?
I like those.
And it looks like he's wearing, like, underwear.
Yeah.
This is Japan we're talking about.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
All of their bodies sort of look like they're wearing clothes.
Yeah, that's true now that you mention it. I really like the puffy sleeves on the sea otter.
He kind of looks like a clown almost.
Yeah.
Like a Mr. Mime-ish sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, not as creepy as Mr. Mime.
You know, everyone says he's creepy. I like him.
I hate his empty gaze.
He works for Ash's mom. He's a nice guy. Wears his apron. Does his work.
He has skinny, skinny arms, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if Pokabu is going to look like the boars in Mononoke, Princess Mononoke.
Oh, good point. He'll probably grow tusks.
Yeah, he'll grow tusks and he'll be really fierce. And
yeah, I guess really it is. It's what's important is the third evolution, not so much the first one.
Yeah,
because that's
guess.
The one you're going to be seeing the most if you're going to play endgame style.
It made me kind of wonder, like, when you're talking about that, the evolutions, like, I wonder if they're going to have, like, they're going to evolve into dual types in their second or third evolution, which is probably true.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, and if this guy's a grass snake, the Tsutaja guy, it's got to be grass poison, right? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Ooh.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think if I had to pick one now, it'd be Tsutaja.
Yeah,
it's my favorite. Or it's my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The winner.
Yeah.
I know Eric.
Is it unanimous? Is it all four of us?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know our boss Eric is partial to Pokabu because he's a pig owner himself. So he's
right.
IRL.
A proud pig owner.
Proud, yes.
Yes.
I'm also partial to grass types for starters. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I actually am normally anti-grass type as a starter. I haven't really picked one since.
Well, typically, isn't the grass type the hardcore one to pick? Because usually, like, the fire and water, there's less weaknesses against the early trainers early on in the game, just in general.
Yeah, no, that's true.
At the gym, the gym.
Yeah, there's usually one starter that starts really slow and then has a big payoff. I know in Gold Silver, Chikorita definitely started slow, but then Meganium really is, you know, really a big payoff at the end.
Was it the Diamond Pearl that had Badoo in it? Was that starter?
Starter in Diamond Pearl's Turtwig.
That's Turtwig. Sorry, Turtwig. My bad.
But it was a cute grass type.
Yeah, I was supposed to be breeding a Turtwig to trade to you.
I would have picked Turtwig if I played Diamond Pearl. I would have picked him.
Yeah, he's really...
He's kind of the champ there, too.
Yeah, and then that one, too.
Grass type wins again.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know, Infernape is looking pretty good at the end. But he's another one that starts slow. The first couple gyms are pretty hard if you pick Chimchar.
I like Chimchar. Is cute. He's my favorite of that group, too.
Yeah.
Mudkip's okay, but...
The thing that always is nice about him and, I guess, Diamond Pearl was that there seemed to be, like, a shortage of catchable fire Pokemon for a long time in that region.
True.
So it was always nice to have that starter one there. Unless you wanted to use a Ponyta, which...
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ponyta! Get out of here!
And then we also got some new information about Zorua and Zoroark. Did you guys watch that Pokemon Sunday video?
Yeah.
So I know everyone was, like, distracted by, the battle animations are a lot more dynamic and... Which we can talk about too. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, Pokemon bounce, whatever.
Yeah.
In the end.
Well, now
like,
we get to see all their bodies and see them move back and forth.
Definitely,
and,
yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, the camera angle, I think, is a little bit dynamic too. I think it changes when they attack and stuff. But we did glean some details on the illusion ability that both Zorua and Zoroark have. I know when it was announced that their ability was illusion, like, we're like, how is that different than Ditto's transform? I know that's what I was wondering. Were you guys wondering that too?
Yeah. I've been curious how he does it. I did like at the end of the video, because when you watch the fight on TV, you think it's like, oh, they're just showing off the animation. And then Entei gets hit and turns into Zoroark. Zoroark.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the host reaction of like, oh, sugoi.
Yes. Yeah, so what we know from that is that Zoroark and Zorua, they take on the sprite and the name of the Pokemon that they're mimicking or whatever, which that's one thing we don't know, is we don't know how it decides which Pokemon they're going to impersonate.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just impersonate the opponent, because obviously that video, it was like Raikou versus Entei. But we do know it retains its dark type. So, in the video, Raikou hits Zoroark that's disguised as an Entei with Aura Sphere, which is a fighting type move, which Dark is weak against. So, it's either that it transforms back into, like, it reveals itself as Zoroark when it's hit with a super effective move, or it might just be, like, when its HP gets low.
Yeah, maybe it works kind of like the, that one fighting move that, like, that where you get replaced with a doll, like what's that one? Maybe it works like that.
Substitute,
where it takes a certain amount of damage and then it changes back. You know.
Well, I think its HP wasn't recovered when it changed back.
That's true.
I don't think. I'd have to watch the video.
And he didn't use any moves, right? So we don't know if it like changes his moveset or something.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that was mentioned in that Korokoro issue or something, that you can only capture him when he's in his true form.
Didn't know that.
So he's going to take the form of a Bidoof and I'm just going to overlook him.
Yeah.
It'd be my great.
You're just going to keep walking. Yeah, I mean, in the movie trailer for the 13th movie, they showed him impersonating Ash. So
that's funny.
It'd be weird if you were like battling a trainer and then it turned out that there was no trainer, that it was just Zoroark
or what about a Pokemon being a Pokemon master? I'm boggled at the idea of that.
I think my brain just exploded.
Well, I know he's not going to be a legend. He's not technically a legendary, but you can... I bet he'll be like one of those story chase down things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He reminds me a lot of...
Lucario?
Lucario, thank you. Yeah.
They definitely kind of have that Fox vibe going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And they were both trotted out kind of early on in the...
I'm jealous at the, like... It the like the Japanese premiere of it, they're giving away like isn't it like shiny versions of the those three
yes,
legendary dog types?
Yes, the legendary
types?
Beasts. Yes, and again, that's I'm really curious if they're gonna give those away here and how if they're gonna do it because in the Japanese version you need to have one of those shiny beasts to trigger the event that
oh really to that, unlock the Zorak?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So
I was looking on like Cerebi and it was saying how like there's he listed all these Japanese events that haven't been unlocked yet in America, and one was like the Pokemon 10th anniversary download Mew one.
Right.
And I was like, man, I hope they bring that there.
They get all the good stuff. I'm also wondering about a Celebi or Celebi giveaway.
Oh, yeah?
Because they have an Earth Cerebi.
I know. I
always say Cerebi, and then I say Celebi. Which, so yeah, I'm wondering about that too, because with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it makes sense that they would do that giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? And also, we saw the a little bit more of the town details. Did you guys see that in the video?
There was not much of it.
Walking through the town. And
is it Ishu? Is that what they're calling
yeah,
it?
Yeah, although that's all going to change. With the,
yeah, those starter names we mentioned before, those
aren't. Oh, yeah, those are definitely going to change. Yeah, I don't think. I think in Diamond and Pearl, I think they changed all of them.
Hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of cool to see the inside of the town. Because that first video where the trainer's just walking around the town, you couldn't really get a sense for how the town worked. But seeing them in the street with all the busy people walking by. And what's nice, that you could see the NPCs didn't block your movement. They would just go around you if they... might be nice if you're trying to hatch eggs or something.
It is nice to think they'll at last be like a three-dimensional city instead of the top-down view that it's been forever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which I like. I like the top-down view. But
yeah.
The screenshot from the cave looked kind of cool, too, where it had, like, all these, like, little kind of like glowing plants in the cave and, like, really neat, like, rock outcroppings. So it looked, like, a lot more interesting than the caves kind of look in the current games.
Yeah. Ooh, I can't wait for Black and White. So shall we move on to this week's or this episode's featured Pokemon?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Who is it?
Can you guys guess? I picked it.
Bidoof. Yeah.
I was not even remotely close.
I don't want to cause any spoilers.
Pidgey.
Okay, well, I'll just say, you guys, everyone knows, it's my favorite Pokemon. It's Snorlax.
Snorlax.
143. So on my note sheet, it says, talk about why Snorlax is awesome. I know, I don't know, what do you guys think?
Well, he's holding all the Pokemon.
He is holding all the Pokemon.
I mean...
I know I fell in love with him first from, you know, the show and stuff in the movie. He was
he's adorable.
Yeah.
I like that about him. And now he's so super lazy and slothful.
But still super strong.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
chill, you know, mm. but he's strong when he needs to be.
Who do you think's cuter, Totoro or Snorlax?
Oh, you can't make that comparison. I mean...
I'm just wondering if it came down to a cute-off contest.
Oh, Totoro.
There can only be one, right?
I don't know. Totoro's got those scary teeth.
Not fair.
Like, I saw those the first time, and I was like, whoa, Totoro, those teeth are scary. You're going to eat this little girl.
He's amazing. I remember I liked Snorlax. It was a pretty strong Pokemon in Smash Brothers.
No, that's this is true. He just comes in and drops.
Nice. Nothing more satisfying than tossing down a Pokeball and your enemies on the edge of the screen, and then out comes a Snorlax.
Just dropping them.
So much better than a Magikarp.
Yeah.
Magikarp.
That's Pop said. Yeah, no. But, Snorlax was so awesome in Smash Brothers.
Powerful Pokemon.
Yeah.
Powerful.
I also just like how you run into it. He's just asleep, and you have to, before you can catch him, you have to wake him up. And you don't really find. At least in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, he's not a wild Pokemon, is
he?
You only
mean
that encounter.
Yeah, I think there is only one in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I know in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, you could catch a Munchlax on the trees using the honey, sweet honey. But it was really rare. The encounter rate is like dismal. So I've never seen one on a tree. I got one from a friend.
Yeah, all those honey Pokemon were definitely a lot of effort. The Heracross is one of those too, was it?
Yeah, that's another one.
I tried forever to get one of him and could never quite get it out.
So I was going to just briefly talk about my personal Snorlax that I used in the office tournament and how awesome he is.
How you used him to crush the competition.
Yeah, yes. I totally trained him very carefully. That was another thing. Going back to the Pokemon tournament briefly, I asked JC Smith, I had like a little interview with him, and I asked him what was the single most important thing for a competitive battle strategy, like the single most important thing to focus on, and he said moveset. Do you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. But yeah. You're not going to... I think that's what held me back in our office tournament, that I refused to spend the TMs on the guys I should have.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a thing, too, is that when we were playing the office tournament, I had a lot of Pokemon in there that I was still using for the game. And a Pokemon that you're playing through with the game isn't necessarily going to be that great when you use them in a battle, because there's, you know, really battle-specific moves, obviously. That
there's no way to EV train in the beginning, either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, I got into a standoff with Eric's Jirachi and my Alakazam, my fire type, and I only had one Pokemon with fire type, which was the problem. So we just sat there and psychic each other down for 15 minutes.
And he just kept resting.
Yeah.
But back to Snorlax.
My Snorlax. So his moveset was he was a sleep talker. He is a sleep talker. He's resting in the PC in Bill's PC right now. So he knows sleep talk, rest, return, and earthquake. So he's a pretty powerful Pokemon. I think sleep talk really helps I can use rest a little more liberally because I know I can use.
What exactly does sleep talk do?
Okay, so sleep talk, so when you're resting or anytime the Pokemon is asleep, if you choose sleep talk, normally a Pokemon can't move when he's asleep.
Right.
So if you use sleep talk, it picks randomly one of the four moves in your moveset. So like when I'm asleep and I choose sleep talk, there's a chance that it'll just choose sleep talk again and nothing will happen.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that it'll use rest and he'll sleep for two more turns. But you have a 50% chance of using either return or earthquake, which would be really awesome when you're sleeping.
Does return send just from the name of it?
Okay, return is a move. It's a normal type attack that does, I think it's a physical attack.
Okay.
That does damage based on the Pokemon's happiness. So it can have a max base attack of, I think, 102.
What?
Based on, happiness.
Dude, that is strong.
And, I mean, my Snorlax is already maxed out happy because he's,
He's your
he's my Snorlax and I love him.
Yeah, right.
If I could, brush him and groom him every day and cuddle with him, I would.
Right.
But also,
Pokemon don't generally lose happiness unless they keep dying a lot.
Yeah, Pokemon will decrease happiness if they faint.
Right.
Or if you feed them certain things.
Oh, okay.
It's like a powder or something.
In the descriptions, it's like this bitter root will bring them back, will give them health back, but they won't like it.
Right.
There's a counter move. That, like, it's not a counter move, but it's an opposite move of return that's like it has to do with how much your Pokemon hates you and it does damage.
Really?
On
that. Yeah. I remember reading about that. I remember thinking.
That seems like that'd be so hard to train for, just feeding your guy garbage and getting him killed all day long.
I'm surprised they have a move that would inspire
That would encourage bad training habits. Yeah.
Well, another thing I like about Snorlax is that in the one I caught in Gold Silver, after I caught him, he had leftovers on him, which is one of my favorite cold items there is.
Exactly.
Like, so, like, Shell Bell is just Shell Bell sucks. But
what is leftovers?
Leftovers, I think it brings, if you survive a turn at the end of it, you get back. I think it's like, I don't know if it's a percentage or just a flat, like
it's
15 to 20 HP.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much. Like, I have it on my level 71 Togekiss, and after every turn, it takes back like 20 HP, and so like he's become like the superstar of my team in the end game stuff, because if he's hurt just a little, I'll do fly, and then he heals completely, and then hit back down. Oh, not completely, but
you know what they call that in MMOs? A tank.
Yeah. It's weird that Toga
he's up front soaking up all the damage.
Yeah, we call it a sponge here.
Getting that aggro.
Yeah. Holding the aggro. Defeating many whelps.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, Snorlax has leftovers because he's the fat guy.
Yeah,
I like that.
Eating all the time.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, leftovers is a pretty hard item to get too, because I think you can really only find it as a hold item on the wild Snorlax.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't. It's the only one I have. I haven't spotted it in the world.
Yeah, it always impressed me to see like those Pokemon teams where like all of them had leftovers, or well, I guess you can't, but the ones where there were just more than one leftovers, and I was like, I don't even have one of those yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I know, like, when it's always recommended as a hold item, but, I mean, in our office tournament, we'd only allowed one hold item, one type of, you know, hold item per team, so.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Another good hold item is Black Sludge. If you have a Poison-type Pokemon, leftovers on Poison-type Pokemon.
Now, that was one of the worst battles I had in the game, when the Elite Four has like a Muck with Black Sludge and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he keeps and he starts going off by doing Minimize. So like you keep if you hit him in the first turn, then he just is minimized twice and you keep missing and missing and missing while it's healing, and it's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're saying there's good counter.
Well, you know, if you guys want to talk about counter strategies for Snorlax, I like to pretend there aren't any. But if we're being serious, I mean, his one weakness is fighting type. So,
okay.
Yeah, and he's pretty vulnerable to, you know, physical attacks. And also, since Earthquake is such a popular move for Snorlax, especially if you have, like, a levitating ghost who is impervious to...
Or maybe a Bronzong?
don't get me started on Bronzong.
Oh, I love Bronzong.
Yeah, he's awesome. But yeah, so if you have like a levitating ghost who will be impervious to ground type and normal type, you're pretty screwed.
Well, also,
how is Snorlax's speed?
Not good.
Yeah.
Because it seems like fighting Pokemons in general seem to have a pretty decent speed.
Yeah,
stat, so.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of health, though. I mean, he can survive effective attack.
Yeah, I mean, his HP is out of control. Yeah. I mean, my Snorlax, he has a careful nature, which is plus special defense and minus special attack. So
someone planned ahead.
I did.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
Man, I can never memorize those natures, though. I always have to look it up every time.
Same here.
I guess we better wrap it up for our first episode of Pokemon Radar. I think we went over time.
It was exciting. We're over time already.
Yeah.
Just like Talk Radar.
Just like Talk Radar. Yeah.
I would say just like in real life where we can't stop talking about Pokemon when we start.
Well.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thank you. I guess we'll see ya next episode.
Sounds
good.
Next episode.
Okay. Yeah, we should get a Pokemon rap or something.
Right.
Like, end it out. Okay. See ya.